Penguin Random House Audio presents The Heathens by Ace Atkins, read for you by MacLeod Andrews. For Angela, sweet child of mine. When grown people speak of the innocence of children, they don't really know what they mean. Pressed, they will go a step further and say, well, ignorance, then. The child is neither. William Faulkner, The Reavers. When we march, we keep moving till dark so as to give the enemy the least possible chance at us. Rogers Rangers, standing orders number 8. Chapter 1. Tanya Jane Bird, known to her friends as TJ, never gave a damn about being famous. But here she was, 4 days on the run from Tippecanoe County, Mississippi, with that girl Chastity, passing along the burner phone to show they now had more than 100,000 followers on Instagram. They only had 6 posts, the newest one from just 2 hours ago after TJ cut her hair boys short, dyed it black as a raven's wing, and made her ultimatum to that cowardly son of a bitch Chester Pratt. She called him out for not only her mother's murder, but the money she and her little brother John Wesley were owed. On the 45-second clip shot outside the Tri-State Motel in Texarkana, she held up her fist on the diving board to an empty pool and said, "Fair is fair," remembering the line from one of her mother's old VHS tapes in the trailer.
"What do you think?" Chastity asked. "I think I'd better drop that phone into the nearest crick."
TJ sang crick as she had her whole life, never caring about talking proper or right. To hell with how other people said it. At 17 years old, TJ had no intention of being no different than she'd always been, famous leader of the Bird Gang or not. 5 feet tall, skin as white as a china plate, and eyes that folks said reminded them of a Siberian husky.
"When we gonna eat?"
John Wesley asked, her 9-year-old brother lying on the other twin bed, kicking his legs back and forth while watching a show about street racers in Memphis. The host, some middle-aged douchebag in sunglasses and a tight tank top to show off his big belly and sleeve tattoos.
"We eat when it's safe to go out," TJ said. "Damn, John Wesley, you just downed a pack of damn little Krispy Kreme donuts. I swear to Christ, your stomach's gonna get us all kilt."
In the motel room, it was just her, John Wesley, and Chastity. Holly Harkins, TJ's best friend since kindergarten, had decided enough was enough and left him on the side of the road, saying she planned to walk all the way home. Now it was night. They were flat-ass broke, and TJ's boyfriend, Ladarius, had headed out to steal them another car. They stole the one they had now from a marina parking lot back in Hot Springs after escaping the cops and riding in a boat across Lake Hamilton. TJ was worried as hell about Ladarius after the news of their escape from the law had been broadcast damn near everywhere. Grisly discovery, teenage lovers on the run. It had been more than a week since her mother had gone missing, and 5 days since they'd found her body stuffed in that oil barrel over in Parsham County. The law didn't take long before looking right at TJ, accusing her and Ladarius of things that weren't true, had never been true, trying to make it seem like some kind of race thing, even though her mother had never been too interested in TJ's personal business. Why they decided to up and blame her, she had no idea, but hadn't been about to stick around and find out. Her whole life had been a struggle, trying to break free of folks trying to put her down or use her up. TJ Bird wasn't standing for that shit anymore.
"Hope Ladarius steals a fast one," John Wesley said. "Hope he steals a nice one," Chastity said. "Maybe a Lexus, or a Mercedes like mine." "Just what are you getting out of all this?" TJ asked. "Don't you know, TJ?" Chastity asked. "Justice. I want justice for all y'all."
TJ looked over to Chastity, with her ringlets of blonde hair and wide-set blue eyes and that hooked nose that kept her just on the wrong side of being pretty. The makeup and clothes, perfect, down to her $300 frayed jeans and little frilly white top. The only frayed jeans that TJ had came from her pants getting worn slap out. All this damn talk about being a social influencer and reaching the world with a message of truth was giving her a headache. The only reason they let Chastity come along with them was on account of her threatening to call the police back at that mansion on the lake. Of course, the girl did have a point, since the house belonged to her rich daddy, and TJ, Ladarius, Holly, and John Wesley had busted in and made themselves at home. 2 days at the big house and an endless buffet of stolen steak dinners, smoked almonds, cocktail olives, and many cans of Coca-Cola had allowed them to rest, catch their damn breath, hole up, and think on where they'd be headed next. California? Texas? Florida? Spin the damn bottle, boys.
I know you're innocent,
Chastity said.
Good, TJ said. So do I. Only your people back home don't want you to be. What do you know about back home?
Chastity gave a reckless little look while she played with the tips of her hair and shrugged her shoulders, a mess of freckles across her chest and a half dozen thin gold chains around her neck. One with a diamond-crusted compass on it saying, Daddy's little girl is never lost.
You think Holly will go to the police?
Chastity asked.
Nope. How can you be so sure? Because she's Holly goddamn Harkins,
TJ said.
My best friend since we was 5, before you showed up and damn well elbowed her to the side. I think she got pissed we pretended I'd been kidnapped. No shit, Chastity,
TJ said.
Why else do you think she gave me the middle finger?
Chastity didn't say anything but gave a small grin as TJ pushed herself up off the bed and walked over to the curtains. She looked out onto the empty pool and the abandoned storefronts across the road, not a mile over the Texas border from Arkansas, the first time TJ had been in either state. Farthest she'd ever been out of Tibaha County was a visit up to Memphis to the zoo or Incredible Pizza on John Wesley's birthday. He ate a million pepperoni slices and stuck his whole hand right into that chocolate fountain. He puked all the way back home. TJ let the curtain drop and headed back into the bathroom, closed the door and turned on the rusty faucet. She had on a flannel shirt over a red tank top from Walmart and a pair of frayed green camo pants. Her daddy's old .38 was stuck into her waistband with plenty of bullets jangling down in her side pockets. Splashing cool water up into her face, she barely recognized the girl she saw. Her skin pale white, newly black hair up off her head. It had been Chastity's idea to do it. She said it made her look just like some French woman who got burned at the stake. When she walked back into the room, Chastity had taken her place on the bed, head up on the pillow and scrolling through a new phone they'd bought at Walmart right after leaving Memphis.
I don't think you should be doing that,
TJ said.
Why?
She said.
It's not registered to you. There's no way to track us. Wow, you should see these hits. We added 500 more likes in 5 minutes. I've never seen anything like it.
TJ nodded, her mouth feeling dry and her stomach empty. She nodded to Chastity.
And what are they saying?
TJ said.
All these people. A lot of boys want to see you naked,
she said.
But mostly folks calling you a hero.
A hero?
TJ said.
For what?
For snatching me up to your cause,
she said.
For sticking it to that greasy Chester Pratt. What the hell do you know about Chester Pratt?
Only what you told me,
she said.
And that was plenty. And you're sure they can't track us?
No way,
Chastity said, not looking up from the phone.
We're all being too careful.
Deputy U.S. Marshal Lily Virgil hung up the phone, turned to her partner Charlie Hodge, and said,
They're in Texarkana. The McCaig kid just got caught trying to steal another car.
Why couldn't these little bastards steal a car back in Memphis down on E.P. Boulevard? Hodge said. I haven't been home in 2 days. I need a shower and some decent food.
Kid's in bad shape,
Lily said.
Some dogs got to him.
Dogs? Hodge said. Holy Christ.
For the last 24 hours, they'd been working out of the marshal's office in downtown Hot Springs, an ancient government building up the hill from Bathhouse Row and across from the abandoned Veterans Hospital. The big brick fortress with dark windows reminded Lily of an old-time asylum.
That'll teach him to throw in with TJ Bird,
Lily said. Ladarius should consider himself lucky. Lily stood up, reached for Hodge's black slicker, and tossed it to him. Lily was nearly 6 feet tall, with broad shoulders, and a walk that some whispered looked a little like John Wayne. She'd been in law enforcement for nearly 20 years, working in Memphis, down in Tibaha County, and now with the Marshals. She was stronger than most men, a better shot than all, and suffered few fools. Lily reached for her Sig Sauer and Winchester 12 gauge while she waited for Hodge to follow.
I haven't seen Rose all week,
Lily said.
That doesn't exactly make me Mother of the Year now, does it?
Who's driving? Hodge said.
No.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?